The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
So good to hear all the chats. How awesome is it to have a youth takeover service? It's so good, isn't it? I obviously love youth. I'm a little biased, but is it what you expected so far? Yeah. Love the enthusiasm. Expectations are pretty strong, hey? Sometimes we know what's expected of us, and sometimes we don't. But I bet that if you're here this morning, you know that at least you should pretend to be listening this morning, right? And I bet if you drive that you know the expectation that you drive at red lights and you stop at green lights. And I bet if you... Oh! You you go at green lights. So you're listening! Good job! That was a test. Yeah. That you stop at red lights and you go at green lights. So there's always these expectations that we live in. Hopefully you actually follow them and don't get them mixed up. But we live in a world that has so many rules that's put on us. And we may not even realize that they're there until we start looking. Until you run that red light. I want to tell you about a time when I got the chance to defy expectations. I actually, at Lipscomb, which is where I went to uni, in America, we had an assignment in class where we had to just do something against the social norm. So we could choose whatever we wanted to, but we just had to do something. So you know, for example, like you walk into a lift and everybody faces the front? Like that. So we had to either get into a lift and face the back or, you know, whatever it was, we got to choose. So at American universities, we have something called intramural sports. And pretty much it's like a church league kind of team, except you're not from different unis, you're all from the same uni. And so a group of your friends get together and you think, yeah, we can play softball. Awesome. We'll play other people that can play softball. Fantastic. So I was on this softball team, and this softball team was called the Gopher Girls. Yes, we were. We had a little song. I won't sing it to you now, but if you'd like to see it afterwards, Matt saw it on Friday, so I can give you a demonstration. It's quite cute. Now, the Gopher Girls, my team, we were playing softball. I had played softball for a really long time. So when I was five, my mom put me in T-ball, and, you know, I was pretty good, but I wasn't the MVP. But I have some pretty amazing lungs, so I was a really good cheerleader when I was on the sidelines. I was really good at distracting the other team when they were batting. So I knew what I was doing, right? So I was sitting on the sidelines thinking, what could I do to you know, go against the social norm? What could I do? People's expectations. What are they expecting in this game? And so I was watching. We were really far ahead, so we were just smashing the other team. And I thought, you know what? Oh, I could do something. I figured it out. Let me tell you a little bit about baseball if you've never played. The way that you play is you stand on the mound, you hit the ball, you run to first base, you run to second base, you run to third base, and then you come back. It's like a diamond. Come back and you get a point, a home run. So I decided we were winning anyway. I'm going to run straight to third base. Okay, so I've never seen anybody run to third base. You just know that you hit the ball and your goal is to make it to first base. So I had decided in my head, like, yep, this is what I'm going to do. I got so nervous. Like, literally, I was sitting on the sidelines going, are they going to disqualify us? Are we going to lose this game? I'm about to make a fool of myself. Like, what am I doing? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so it was our turn to bat. My turn. So I got my helmet on, so I was safe. I picked up my bat with my sweaty palms, and with my, like, nerves in my stomach, I walked up to the plate. And I'm like standing there shaking, thinking, oh my God, I don't want to do this. Because the expectation is so strong that anybody that is watching is, what are they going to do? Like, I just had no idea what would happen. Anyway, so I swing when the ball comes, and I miss the first one. I'm like, okay, I'm so nervous. Like, focus, Emily. You can't go against expectations if you can't hit a ball. So I went and I hit the second pitch. I dropped my bat, and I ran. They're expecting me to go this way. I ran immediately to third base. Okay, so here's where the chaos ensues. The person on first base who's expecting me to come to first base actually laughs so hard that she falls on the ground. All right? Okay. Then everybody else on the team and on the sidelines, they're just yelling at me going, go to first base! What are you doing? The person at third base that I'm running to actually runs towards me, grabs my arm, and starts dragging me to first base. Okay? So then I had no idea what the spectators were doing because I was so focused on what was going on the field. The next day at lunch, I had somebody come up to me and say, you're the girl that ran straight to third base. And I was like, oh no, I'm that girl now. So I had a reputation throughout this uni because you know what? When you defy expectations, people notice. And the expectations that we have on us are so strong. Now, expectations, they could be anything from low expectations that insult you. They can be the pressure that you feel from high expectations. They can be anything that you think about yourself. They can be expectations others put on you. Expectations are culture. They're just in so many forms. This was actually proven through an experiment in a classroom. Now, I think classroom is the place that we have a group of people that we can shape and form and guinea pigs. No, if you're a teacher, you're doing a great job. So this experiment was actually that they took a group of students that were all the same intellect level, we'll say. They split them into two classes. One class, they told the teacher, these are the bright students. These are your above average, very smart kids. The other class, they told the teacher, these are your slow to average students. Now, remember, these students have the same intellect level, GPA, IQ, whatever measurement they were using, it's the same. But they told the teachers completely different things. Now, what happened was as the teachers were teaching, the smarter students were the ones that when they had a question and when they didn't get it, the teachers spent time making them understand, helping them understand. They were patient, they knew they'd get it, they stuck with it. The other class, the slow or average class, they actually said, oh, you don't know the answer? Who can help them? Oh, you don't know the answer? That's fine. You're probably just slow. You'll never get it. And in the end, after this experiment, they found that the smart class actually excelled, and the slow kids actually went down. Same intellect level, the expectation that those teachers had changed the whole performance of those students. Can you see how strong expectations are? Have you ever stopped long enough to notice the expectations around you? Now, today is our youth service. So I'm going to focus on youth, but I will come back to all of you. And all of you have been teenagers at some stage, so you might feel it. But the expectations right now that our society puts on teenagers, I would call them confusing. But generally, they're pretty low and they're pretty high all at the same time. So the low standards that our teenagers have, I'm going to say teenagers, but youth and young adults, because I think it's strong for young adults too. Here's a little picture of some stereotypes that are on our youth. So if you wear black, you must be goth. If you're a teenager, you must cause trouble. I love high schoolers, and if I go to the shops in the morning and there's a gang of high school students in their school uniforms, I actually get a little nervous. Like, I have expectations, and I love teenagers, but I think, ooh, what's going to happen? So we have those preconceived ideas, and if you haven't ever noticed, notice that you have them. But we think teenagers are lazy, they're rebellious, they are addicted to their phones, this is the time when they experiment with drugs, this is the time when, underage drinking, it's rampant, right? So we have those expectations of teenagers, don't we? Hopefully, we, as the church, can see more than that, because they're great, but that's kind of what our society says. On the other hand, we have this high expectation. So we have celebrities, we have the most connected young people in the world ever. And they get to see all these images being pushed in their faces. They get to see, you're supposed to look like this. When in reality, she doesn't look like that every day. She looks like this most of the time, probably. But we don't see that. We have these expectations, and that's not just young people, that's on everybody. I feel it. I'm not super young, but I know that it's there, right? So we all have these expectations in our face all the time. The expectation of our experience. We expect when we go see the Taj Mahal that it's going to look like this. But actually, what it looks like is more like that, right? So our experiences are definitely disappointing these days because we have all these beautiful, perfect images coming at us that we think, yep, it's going to be great. And then we get there and reality just, I've done it. I went to see the Eiffel Tower in Paris and thought, meh, looks better on TV. Right? So we're surrounded by it all the time. It's called the power of context. So the way that we pick up cues in our context, in our environment, is so strong. And if we're not aware of it, then we actually miss it. And it has impact over us. It has power over us. The way that it's been described, I don't know if you've ever read Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. He describes it as the broken window theory in his book. And it's about a theory that if there's a building that has heaps of broken windows in it, it actually tells people, hey, you can come break the rest of the windows. So it's the power of the context that when you look at, for example, the city of South Perth, they have a 24-hour rule for graffiti. If they find graffiti, if you report it, they say that they're going to wipe it out in 24 hours because if they leave it, it tells other people, you can come graffiti here. So do you see the power of just those little cues that maybe we don't even see that are just everywhere around us? Now, I went to a high school recently. It broke my heart. Normally, when you go to a high school, you use the staff toilets just because that's you, the adults. But I just happened to, it was during class, no students were out, so I went to the student toilet, and on the back of the door, there were just heaps of swearing, heaps of insults, heaps of just, I would call it as a Christian, I would call it death. So there was just all kinds of messages being sent when you just went to the toilet. And everybody goes to the toilet every day, I'd assume. And so when you went to the toilet, there was just heaps of death being put in your face. So I did take pictures of it, but I actually didn't want to show it today because it was that offensive that I thought I would probably offend some people here. But there was pictures of all this death, and there was just one little message that said, you're worth more than this. And I thought, that is so powerful, that amongst all the death and all the crud, and the first person that wrote something negative on there, the next person wrote something negative. So the power of context said, let's just swear at each other on the bathroom door, the toilet door. And then actually, that one person said, you know what? I'm going to bring life to this situation. Because they realized the context that they were sitting in. They realized when they sat on that door that there was just a whole bunch of yuck coming into your mind when you're sitting there just reading. And that person changed it. That person had the wisdom and the perspective to know that actually you can change your context. Because teenagers, we don't say to you, hey, we really expect you to be competent and wise, and can you just have it all together by probably like 13? That'd be great. We don't say that, right? And luckily we don't say that because we don't have it all together at 50 probably. But what we do say to young people is actually, so compare. I'm gonna give you a comparison. Toddlers, we say to toddlers, at least I do, can you use your words, please? Right? So instead of whining at me or instead of like, use your words, we say that to 3-4-year-olds. Teenagers, we just say, oh, they just grunt. Teenage boys, that's how they talk. That's what they do. It's fine. Do you see the standards that we're letting people live to? That we're asking people to step up to? And the context of that is that we, through our language, so it doesn't have to be context of, we don't graffiti on our toilet doors here, hopefully. I've never seen it. But as a people in the world, we can't write, you're worth it, on the door. But we can speak, you are worth more than, you know, grunting. You can communicate as a teenager. We can start pulling them into a context that's different. Because, I have quotes for you. The term adolescence literally means to grow up. So when we're saying to that teenager, oh, you just grunt, that's fine, that's what teenagers do. We're saying to them, we don't want you to necessarily be a successful adult. It's a pretty big thing that we're saying when we're letting teenagers live to the low expectations that society puts on them. But if we're saying to them, actually, this is your training ground. The teen years are not a vacation from responsibility. They are a training ground of the future leaders who dare to be responsible now. How cool is that? Because teenagers can be responsible now. That's the thing. And I'm not saying, hey, can you just be absolutely amazing? I don't want you to leave here thinking, oh, I'm not good enough. I don't do all this stuff. But take risks. This is their chance. Teenagehood. How many of you want to go back to like high school where you didn't have jobs to hold down and bills to pay and, right? Yeah, I got a hand back there. Good job. I would like to. I loved high school. I went and saw Bring It On this weekend and I was like, I just want to be back in high school. I love it. So those teenage years, you think those are a training ground. It's not a vacation from responsibility. It's not a time where we're going to say, oh, it's fine. Just live down to those low expectations. That's insulting. Young people, you're better than that. So God actually works through people who defy expectations all the time. So if we look through the Bible, we see young people, for example, David, as a young guy, he was a shepherd. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't somebody that necessarily was in a prime of life as such, and he was used by God to defeat Goliath. And he didn't use armor, he wouldn't put armor on, he didn't have heaps of weapons, but he had a slingshot sort of thing, and he just was himself. And God defied all the expectations of people through that. Ruth, she was from a town that was actually quite messed up. They worshipped pagan gods. She had a bad reputation, and she's actually part of the line of Jesus. You have stories like Mary, who washes Jesus' feet with her hair and expensive perfume. And if you look at like the times, women weren't supposed to let their hair down. And you already see in the Bible that people were like, what? Why did you spend that money? Like, waste that perfume. People defied expectations all the time. The prodigal son, the dad of the prodigal son, he runs out to his son. Powerful men in that time did not run. So it's massive when those people, we may not know all that stuff, just sitting here in our Western world and, you know, 2016, but when we read those stories through the lens of culturally, that was not okay. Those were not expectations that people were fitting into a box. Those were times where people were defying expectations, and God worked through those. And obviously, Jesus is the person that I think defied expectations the most, because people expected that Jesus would be the guy that comes in, actually becomes king, like literally a king, and that he, you know, brings peace back to Israel, and he's the guy on the throne, like literally, because they use all that language, right? They expected that he would save people. Now, I just look at this and I think totally they would have been totally disappointed, because by dying is the way he saved people. He didn't live up to the religious leaders saying, you're a really good religious person. He worked on the Sabbath, like he healed on the Sabbath. He did stuff all the time that got people's back up because it wasn't fitting into their little box of expectations. Like Jesus, if I can say it, was like a rebel. And our teenagers today, we say our teenagers, God, they're so rebellious. And I think, awesome. Like, I love that. If I can, I'm going to say this word in church. Little rat bag kids, they're my favorites, because I think you have such a spark in you. because you are the people that are going to defy expectations. Like Jesus, who said, you know what? I care what my Father in heaven thinks. I don't care what you think. He made an impact on the world. The disciples, they didn't look like people thought they should necessarily to change the world, but they did. They changed the world. And so young people, when you guys think, oh, it's bad that I'm doing something, taking a risk, blah, 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 run it through the filter of Jesus. Because sometimes we have to say, I don't want to go to that party. I don't want to go. Like, I don't want to do what my friends are doing. Now, I'm not saying you should ditch work and you should ditch school and you should never do anything again. That's not the expectation that I'm saying you should defy, okay? Just putting it out there. When I was in high school, we have this tradition in the States. It's sort of like leavers, I would say. So, you know, here at leavers time, all the year 12s seem to go down south or out to wherever, and they just get trashed, and that's kind of what happens. As a stereotype, obviously not everybody does that, but stereotypically speaking. Now, in America, we have what's called spring break, but it's not just year 12s. It's anybody in high school, anybody in uni that wants to go away. Everybody heads to the beach. You party. You get trashed. You hook up with people. Like, it's just a not nice place, except that you're at the beach, and you know it's pretty. And I lived about 8 hours from the beach, so the idea of going to the beach in spring break was like, yes, score. But I knew that if I went, that all this stuff would be happening, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I want that. So instead, my youth group and I got together, and we decided that we were going to be different. We were going to tell our friends, nope, we're not going on this spring break trip. We're not going to go and get trashed. That's just not who we are. It's not what we stand for. It's not what God wants for our lives. We're just not going to do it. And so we actually decided that we would spend the whole week feeding homeless people. So we went and we called one of the organizations and we said, hey, we have all week. We're not going on spring break. What can we do for you? And so we went and we bought food. We packed lunches and we just walked the streets and we met people. We had chats. We fed people. And it was amazing. And it was actually one of my most memorable spring breaks. And I think if I had given in to the expectations of all my friends who were like, why aren't you going to spring break? What's your problem? Because I got those responses. If I'd given in to that, who knows what would have happened. Could have been fun, but it wouldn't have changed lives. Now, God tells us, well, God works through those who defy expectations. God tells us in 1 Samuel, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. So when we decided that we were going to serve God, we were not going to serve ourselves, we were not going to serve our friends, we were going to serve God. We were going to be the people that made an eternal difference, not a selfish difference. We were going to be the people that lived up to the expectations of God. Because God does have expectations for us. God says, love me, love your neighbor. God says, make disciples, serve the least of these. He has things, like we have a whole Bible of things that he wants us to do. But the difference is that those expectations lead to freedom. You know how today we were singing about freedom? We didn't plan that, but I was like, praise the Lord. Because really, the expectations of the world, they bind us. They hold us, they trap us. The low expectations pull us down, the high expectations crush us. We don't feel good enough, right? But the expectations of God, he says, I want you to have life and have it abundantly. And that is exciting. And those are expectations that I want to live up to. And I want our young people and I want all of us to live up to. So as a church, what expectations are we communicating? We actually communicate stuff. We don't have graffiti on our bathroom door, toilet door, but we do communicate things. Churches are powerful cultures. We have expectations on people that we may not even know that we have. Now, I'm not saying this in the context of young people. It's all their faults if they're older, and I'm not saying it like that. Just generally all of us. So we can influence and communicate expectations to our peers, to those older than us and those younger than us. We all influence each other. We are the body of Christ. That is the way that we work. We're all intertwined. But what are we communicating? Are we communicating that on a Sunday, the goal is to tick a box and show up? Are we communicating that Sundays is the time where we get refueled for our mission during the week? Are we communicating that actually when we come to church, we have to behave a certain way or we don't belong? Are we communicating that Jesus is for you and Jesus loves you and we want to embrace you? What are we communicating? It's subtle, because it might look pretty similar, but it's very subtle. There's a girl that actually stopped into a church. She was just running past. Her name is Julia. So Julia was running past, and she thought, I've never been to church. I'm just going to stop in this church. So she went to the church. She ultimately, Chita Delpha, became a Christian. And Julia, in that time, changed the way that she looked. She changed the way that she dressed. She ended up looking just like the other people in that church. And if you stood her next to somebody her age, you would have noticed that her outfit looked pretty similar to the girl next to her. And I watched this happen. And I thought, oh my goodness, the church is powerful. But we're not necessarily discipling her in the right things. We're discipling her in the way to dress and the way to act and to not to be shy. I watched her become somebody that didn't get excited in her faith anymore. And I thought, what are we saying? How are we squashing people? And we don't want to be that church. I know that's not who we want to be. And so we need to be very aware of what we are communicating. Are we communicating that I'll only call you and I'll only go out to coffee with you if you look a certain way? Or I'll only sit next to you if you don't get too excited when you sing to God? Like, you know, what is it that we're communicating? And this isn't just to our young people, but obviously our young people, we're wanting them to grow up in God, not just in how to do laundry and how to cook dinner, but in their faith. So we need to communicate what we want our next generation to get and to know. And what stops us? Now, I feel like expectations are strong on purpose. And the thing that I think of when we look at all of it is the thing that stops us most is fear. And I don't know that this is a shock to anybody, but fear is probably just as strong as expectations. Now, this could be the fear of rejection. I used to do counseling, and all the time when I was with kids and youth, but all the time when I drilled down to what somebody was worried about, it was a fear of rejection. We want to belong. We want to be part of something. We don't want to be rejected. But God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He will not reject us. Defying expectations can be lonely. But do you really want to be friends with people who don't want you to be healthy and to grow in your faith? Because you can find those people. They're around. We fear humiliation and shame. But Jesus says, I take away your shame. There is no condemnation in me. We fear failure. Jesus says, you have the ultimate victory in Christ. He is the victory. He has won it for us. And we also have fear of being defiant. I'm a people pleaser. Confession from the stage. I don't even know, like, all of you, but probably a lot of you here are. We don't want to go outside the box. We don't want to rock the boat. We want people to like us. We want things to be okay. We like peace. Maybe we're all peacemakers, right? But sometimes we're not called to be peacemakers. Sometimes we're called to be those people that Jesus says, I bring a sword sometimes. And so maybe that's us. So those fear of things, they are powerful and they stop us. Because we are made to impact the world. And I don't mean you're supposed to be the richest person. I don't mean you're supposed to be somebody who, you know, is drives the best car or looks the best or even starts the best nonprofit or whatever it is that expectation is. We're fed right now, we should be famous. That's a very big kind of theme going. I'm not good enough unless I'm famous, and whatever that's for. But we are called to be world changers. By love, by compassion, through patience, not getting revenge. Things that probably to anybody outside of the church would say, those are weak. Why would I even want to do that? That's not going to be powerful. That's not going to get me anywhere in this world. But the world expects you to get revenge. The world expects you to be the people that just want to be famous and get money. And when we come at them and we say, no, that's not what God calls us to. Actually, I'm supposed to impact the world and bring the kingdom of God wherever I am. Whatever circumstance I have, whatever job I hold down, whatever school I go to, I'm bringing the kingdom of God. I'm living out my kingdom life wherever I am. And so we are world changers. And I feel like young people, it's a little bit easier for us when we're in high school because our whole world's ahead of us. When you're middle-aged, we're all stuck in a box somewhere. So middle-aged, it might be that, you know what, I'm stuck in a rut. I've got some kids or I've got my life or I can't, you know, change things, so I'm just going to stay where I'm at. It could be that the disappointments of life are pretty heavy. But actually, I want to reignite you today. I want to challenge you today to say, don't live in the expectations. Don't say, I'm an old person, I'm going to be cranky. Don't say, I'm middle-aged, I'm going to be boring. Sorry. These are stereotypes that I hear, like they exist. Even the whole stereotype of, well, I'm just busy. It is time for us as Christians to defy the expectations that the world is putting on us so strongly. First, we need to wake up to them, but second, we have to do something about it. I'm going to show you a video, and then we're going to do something, so just brace yourselves, because you're going to have to do something, okay? Oh, here, wait, one more quote. I heard this quote in America, "The Spirit doesn't guide us to happiness, but to high-impact holiness." Because the other expectation, sorry, that we have is that happiness is the goal. But God never promises that happiness is the goal. He says you will go through trials of many kind and you will be blessed through that. So different than our world expects. So different. But he wants you to have a high impact. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to connect with him. He wants you to ask him, who am I? Who have you made me to be? How do you want me to make an impact? Now you can watch a video. Oh, now you can watch a video. Are you willing to change the world? You're going to have to live for God. Otherwise, it's not eternal. So I want to ask you today, whose expectations are you living for? What expectations are holding you back? And this isn't just to young people, this is to all of us. You have a piece of paper that was on your chair, and there's pencils or pens somewhere in your row if you don't have one. What I want you to do is actually write down what the expectations are that are holding you back. And today I want you to let those go. And when you let those go, I actually want you to defy expectations, because in church we sit in pews and then we leave, right? I know we don't have pews. But these buckets here on the other side of the stage, I want you to actually write those down. I want you to let those go, and I want you to put those into the bucket. So that's going to require you standing up, getting outside your comfort zone, because we love comfort, and putting those in the bucket. And then sit back down, because there's a few more things we need to do. So go for it. Let me just pray while you do that. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that you want us to have freedom, you want us to have life, and you want us to live under your expectations, not the lies of this world. So Lord, I pray this morning that we can let go of the expectations holding us down, crushing us, not bringing us life. Lord, we want to be the best we can be for you, but that doesn't mean that we want to give in to anything that's not of you. So Lord, I pray that we can this morning let go of what's holding us back, realize it, and give it to you. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you give us instruction. Thank you that you want us to have a great life for you, where we love people and we make a difference in this world. And it's through Jesus' amazing and mighty name that I pray. Amen.